So we're reading from the sixth canto and chapter 10. It's entitled Battle Between the Demigods and Vritrasura, and it's text 7 and 8. So on the board you have text 8. So I'll just read 7 and then we'll go to 8.
Shirishi uvacha dharman vashotu kamina yuyame pajudarita eshava priyamatmanam twajantam satya satya jamyaham.
Translation: the great sage Dadichi said, just to hear from you about religious principles, I refused to offer my body at your request. Now, although my body is extremely dear to me, I must give it up for your better purposes, since I know that it will leave me today or tomorrow. So going to text 8. Yes, it's on. This text 8.
Ya adruvena atmana nata na daman na yasha puman iheta bhuta dayaya sa shochya stavarai api yo juvenatmananata na dharman na yasha pumam iheta bhuta dayaya sa shochya stavarai api yo juvenatmananata Nadarmana yashapumam Iheta bhutadayaya Sashochya stavare api Yodruvenatmana nata Nadarmana yashapumam Iheta bhutadayaya Sashocha stavarai rapi. Yodubinananata Nadaman
Mothers,
Yeah,
anyone.
Who?
Adruvena impermanent. Atmana, by the body. Nadha, O Lord. Na, not. Dhaman, religious principles. Na, not. Yasha, fame. Pumam, a person. Iheta, endeavors for. Bhuta dayaya, by mercy for the living beings. Sa, that person. Shochya, pitiable. Stavarai, by the immobile creatures. Api, even. Translation. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher cause of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. Responsibly. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. So in this regard, a very exalted example was set by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Concerning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.34 that we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord, upon whom one should always meditate. So he left his householder life, leaving aside his eternal consort, whom even the denizens of heaven adore. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls who are put into illusion by material energy. To accept sannyas means to commit civil suicide. But sannyas is compulsory, at least for every Brahmin, every first-class human being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very young and beautiful wife and a very affectionate mother. And then he says, indeed, the affectionate dealings of his family members were so pleasing that even the demigods could not expect such happiness at home. Nevertheless, for the deliverance of all the fallen souls of the world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left home when he was only 24 years old. He lived a very strict life as a sannyasi, refusing all bodily comforts. Similarly, his disciples, the six Goswamis, they were ministers who held exalted positions in society. But they also left everything to join the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivasacharya says that these Goswamis, they left their very comfortable lives as ministers, zamindars, and learned scholars and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement just to show mercy to the fallen souls of the world, accepting very humble lives as mendicants, wearing no more than loincloth and torn quilts. They lived in Vrindavan and followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to excavate Vrindavan's lost glories. Similarly, so this is Prabhupada's call. He's drafting us. You know when you do a draft, you call them for the war? So he says, similarly, everyone else with a materially comfortable condition in this world should join the Krishna conscious movement to elevate the fallen souls. The word bhuta dayaya maya mingam dayitashpitam and dina ganeshako kaunaya all convey the same sense. They are very significant words for those interested in elevating human society to a proper understanding of life. One should join the Krishna conscious movement following the examples of such great personalities as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, and before them the great sage Dadichi. Instead of wasting one's life for temporary bodily comforts, one should always be prepared to give up one's life for a better cause. After all, the body will be destroyed. Therefore, one should sacrifice it for the glory of distributing religious principle throughout the world. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher cause of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. Yo dhruvinatmanata nadamanaya shapumam iheta bhuta dayaya sashochya stavarai api. Om Jnana Timandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datiti Swabhandinikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadha Shivasani Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Vanshaka Patarubhyacha, Kripa Sinyubhyayavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Nama. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachatate Shatarine. Bhavananda Prabhu gives one story. Prabhupada asked him a question. So Prabhupada told him, so he said, when did you join? Oh, no, how did you join? He asked Brahmananda Prabhu, how did you join? So Brahmananda Prabhu said, it's important, we always ask people, how do they join? So it was important for Prabhupada also, how did you join? So he said, well, someone brought me to the temple, but he didn't stay, I stayed. And Prabhupada said, oh, it's like me. Because we know the story, Rajendranath Malik, he brought Prabhupada by force to see Bhaktisiddhanta. He didn't want to go because his father had an open door policy for all the sadhus. So many sadhus coming in his house and so many sadhus he saw were not serious spiritually. So when Rajendra asked him, please come and see, you must see this Bhaktisiddhanta. He said, no, I don't want it. He was fighting, fighting. Finally he went just for his friend. So he stayed, but Rajendra did not stay. But Prabhupada is so simple, so humble. He said, oh, just like me. I came and he did not stay. So we all come here because of someone's sacrifice. Like, for example, now I heard that Jayaprataka Maharaj is doing better. So what is his first thought? He's thinking, let me go and travel. He's just recuperating, barely breathing. Now he's out of ICU, he's in the hospital, and he's thinking, let me just go and preach. That is sacrificing for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Like Hari Swami Prabhu gives one story that there was one program that was organized for Prabhupada and Prabhupada was very sick. But Prabhupada said, I'll go. It was in Vrindavan. And Hari Swami Prabhu asked him, why do you go? You're sick. Someone else can go. He said, no, they have asked me. I have to go. So he tells the story that when he was coming, going up the podium, Prabhupada fell back and he had to hold him. So he could see that Prabhupada was given his last energy, just to preach. Like for example, if you look back into your own lives, how we joined, it's always because of someone's sacrifice. Because if they did not sacrifice their desire for sense enjoyment, they wouldn't be there, we wouldn't be there. Like for example, when I joined, there was the temple president in Montreal. He had blooped and then he came back. So he had taken a decision to start again seriously, spiritually and sacrifice. So he was very instrumental in me joining. And then my Guru Gopal Krishna Maharaj was very instrumental also. Now I met when Gopal Krishna Maharaj joined in 67, he was at McGill University. So he used to come on Park Avenue with all these friends, business friends. But he used to put a dhoti and go to the temple and offer obeisances. They all came just for prasad. So they told me that of all of us, he would have been the most successful. He would have made the most money. Like even for many years, Prabhupada told him to continue working. So he was managing in different corporations, still making money, but only giving everything to the temple. Even there's an anecdote. Prabhupada was in the airport in New York, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj was far, in kami clothes, coming from work, so he was shy to go in kami clothes. And Prabhupada called him, and he told him, at least you should buy some plastic bangles for your wife. So everything he would make, he would give to the temple. So similarly, Prabhupada was the same thing. He renounced all his business. Everything was renounced. When he went to Jhansi, Jhansi is where he wanted to start the League of Devotees. He was thinking that, I've worked for 30 years, I've made money for 30 years, this is a good place for me to start. So he put an ad in the newspaper, and he said that we're looking for Brahmins who can surrender and preach Krishna consciousness, room and board offered for good candidates. So he put an ad. Actually, there's another anecdote where Brahmananda Prabhu in New York also was thinking to put an ad, and Prabhupada told him, that doesn't work, I've tried it, no one comes. He told him like this. So Prabhupada also sacrificed in this way. It's explained by one astrologer that Prabhupada was supposed to be one of the richest men of India. But he sacrificed. If there was no sacrifice, how there would have been Krishna consciousness? It wouldn't have been possible. Like when he was 53, he was always going and coming from the house, and he was trying to stay home until his sons and daughter was married. But then he was thinking, now it's not happening, they're creating trouble, they don't want to get married, this is working, this is not working, let me go. He was thinking that if I die today, what will they say? Oh, God will help. And then he mentions that Bhaktisiddhanta speaks about this civil suicide, where you actually die civilly and you become a sannyasi. So at that time he was thinking, I should go and fully dedicate, until the incident of the tea. Actually, the incident of the tea is, it's twofold. The first fold is Prabhupada one day, you know, he was very, because Prabhupada would preach in one room, and the other room his family would take cookies and tea, English cookies. So he told her, you have to choose between the tea and me. So his wife thought he was joking. He says, well, you know, if I have to choose, I'll choose the tea, you know. So it didn't happen at that time, he didn't leave. But when he came back from Jhansi at one point, he saw he was looking for his Bhagavad Gita manuscript. So his wife was thinking, I need these cookies. So she went to the market, and at that time they did barter, so they put the Bhagavad Gita, the weight of it, and she gets so many cookies. So when Prabhupada came, he was very shocked. He was even depressed in the beginning, and then he became very serious. He said, I'm leaving. But for them, it didn't mean anything. Because for 30 years, he had been coming and going. Everyone saw this Abhay Babu going, coming back, going, coming back, going, coming back. So they didn't understand. So Hari Swami Prabhu told me that Prabhupada told him that at the moment I left, I never looked back. And they thought he was coming back, but he never came back. So he sacrificed. Everything was sacrificed. Even leaving India is a sacrifice at his age. Because he was losing the opportunity maybe to pass away in Vrindavan. That was the fear of the sadhus, that I won't pass away in India. But still he left. And he had these two heart attacks. He had the heart attack in New York. He was saying, I'm feeling this chest, this knife stabbing in my heart. But this is all sacrifice. If he had sacrificed, we wouldn't be there. And this is what Prabhupada is saying, that we should all sacrifice. Why? Because, and Dadichi is mentioning that, in any case, we're going to die. So Prabhupada mentioned to one of his sannyasi disciples, he said, you spend billions of life enjoying, now you give one life to Krishna. I know Gopal Krishna Maharaj used to tell me that, tell Maya next life. If you tell Maya next life, there'll be no Maya this life, so you'll go back. So he told him at least one life. So this puts everything into perspective, because when we get, even as devotees, when we get into our lives, we get into a very comfortable setting. And joining the Krishna conscious movement doesn't mean that we just get initiated, but we have to feel this urgency, this urgent need. I'll give you an example of Prabhupada's compassion. I don't know if it was with Govinda Dasi or Mother Jamuna, but they were making a salad of sprouts, you know, the bean sprouts. So Prabhupada told the disciple that in every one of these bean sprouts, there's a soul. And his anxiety was that none of these bean sprouts would be left out of the salad. So imagine the vision. He's looking at that bean sprout and he's seeing a soul, a living entity suffering in that bean sprout. This is a very advanced vision. We can barely do it for an ant. Even for people, we can barely do it. But his compassion was so elevated that he was so much in anxiety that even one of these sprouts would not lose the opportunity to be offered to Krishna. This is quite an advance. Like when you see someone who's disfigured or they lost a leg, then we feel very compassionate. But when you see nice people, well-dressed, intellectual, we're not thinking how much they're suffering. When people were asking, who's this Krishna conscious for? He said, for everyone. He would preach, Prabhupada would preach, whenever someone was ready, he would tell them. Like for example, one, and I don't remember who it was, but some important person was coming, so they said, oh, if he comes, it's going to be good for Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada said that, I'm not interested in all these big people. I mean, when they're ready, then I tell them. You know, he hits just on the point. So he sees everyone equally, because the dress has changed, but inside the suffering is the same. So it is that compassion that brings us to the point of wanting to preach to people or wanting to actually give our lives for the preaching mission. And obviously we have our families and we have our situations, but beyond this we have to want to be able to, first of all, save ourselves, because you can't save others unless you save yourself. Sometimes people work so hard, they don't chant, they manage, they do this, and then they suffer. Because unless you save yourself, how you will save others? It's not possible. But this sacrifice that he's speaking about is really, he's telling everyone with intelligence and with wealth. I mean, who would ask someone with wealth give it up to preach? Okay, if someone is poor, the pauper, the poor man, he's going in the shopping center, he's going in South Mall or somewhere in Calcutta, he looks at everything, he says, I give it up. He has nothing to give up, it's not his. He's looking everywhere, I'm giving up. But if someone has something, then at least he's an illusion that he has something. When the king gives up the palace to go to the forest, he didn't give up nothing, because nothing is his. Neither the forest or palace is his. He has to give up the false conception that this is mine. But at least when you're rich or you have knowledge, you're thinking, I have something. So Prabhupada boldly is saying, you give up all this and you preach. You join Krishna consciousness. Why? Because in any case, you've been doing this for millions of lifetimes. Sometimes devotees say that I need a little more time. But we've been doing so much overtime already in the material world. We've been here for a very, very long time. I think I was saying last time how this person suffered from the Gita Mahatmya, and she went in Mahavogava for one kalpa. Then she went to another hell for another kalpa. So I mean, how many billions of years we've been here is not understandable. So this sacrifice of our lives doesn't mean that you die. It means that all our being has to be towards Prabhupada's mission. It takes time because we have to get purified. But our goal is we want to fully surrender to this mission. And how do you surrender? You surrender first by practice, and then you surrender also by giving back a little bit to Prabhupada by some kind of preaching. It doesn't mean you go out on books, it doesn't mean you go, but something we should do, like when guest comes, we speak to them, something we want to give back. And because we become compassionate, because unless the heart is soft, how we can feel for others? Later it is said here about the qualities, you'll see the verse. It says that someone who suffers on people's suffering and is happy when others are happy. So the devotee is para dukkha dukkhi. He suffers. People suffer, he suffers. He suffers deeply. It's a very... But the material generally, when people suffer, he's quite happy, because it brings him up. But the devotee is para sukha dukkhi. He suffers on others. So that sacrifice tendency is a natural tendency in any case. Prabhupada explained about the Mayavidi sannyasis. What do? They become advanced and then they don't know what to do, so they do social work. They have to do something. You see, people sacrifice their lives all the time. If you look in the stories of war, for example, there was this, on this ship was bombed and there was four priests. So they started giving vests, you know, life jackets to people. So people started going, and at one point they had life jackets, four people didn't have life jackets. They took it out, give it to them, they hold their hands and they died. It's a natural tendency to sacrifice. It's a natural tendency to love. But Prabhupada said, if you don't love G-O-D, you love D-O-G, the dog. I mean, you don't see it here, we see it in the West. When you see these sparks, they take the dogs and the master picks up the stool and throws it. The master is actually serving the animal. If you look in the West also, you know, when you go to daycare for children, it's a place where they keep the children. Sometimes buses come for children to pick them up. But you also have a system that picks up the dogs. The daycare bus comes, picks up the dog, brings it to the daycare, brings it back. There's hospitals for animals, you have oncology, you see everything. It's like human hospital, but it's just for animals. So this tendency to serve, this tendency to sacrifice, this tendency to love, it's such a natural tendency. But if we don't use it for the proper purposes, it becomes misplaced. So it's a natural tendency. So Prabhupada is saying that you have this tendency, like Dadichi said, I'm going to die in any case. Why not die for a better cause, for a higher cause? So I know we know all this because we've been Krishna consciousness for some time. But this is really an important verse. It's a verse to remind us why we came to Krishna consciousness. We came to Krishna consciousness so we can become strong spiritually and we can also help others. It's like a time of war. When Prabhupada said we had war with Maya, it's a real thing, there's a war. What is Maya trying to do? Maya is trying to keep everyone and kill people spiritually. She's trying to keep people here and keep us here. It's like when you're in a jail, so you try to get out of jail, and the jail is increasing, more and more prisoners. What do? You have to take these people out. You have to get out, go back into your camp. So that vision has to be there. And it's because we so much entangled and we become overwhelmed with our life, sometimes we forget the reason we join and what we should actually do and how we can utilize our life to actually come to that point of sacrifice. Think of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so smart. I mean, he would do his cases so quickly. But all his life was just meant for Krishna consciousness. And you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all his life was sick. If we study his life, he was always some kind of sickness. But he would always fight for Krishna. And Bhaktisiddhanta, unless Bhaktisiddhanta fights so much that anyone can become Brahman, it's not based on guna karma, but it's based on quality, you know? Yeah, guna and karma, yeah. Anyways, it's based on the quality and not on the karma, then Krishna consciousness would not have been here today because it allowed Prabhupada to initiate lectures and, you know, low-class people. This is example where two sannyasis went to Vrindavan to a temple and the pujari blessed them, the next life we bless you to become Brahmins. So Prabhupada said the Vaishnavas are higher than Brahmins. You're already Vaishnavas. So this verse is very important for us because it reminds us of the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, sometimes if you reread Prabhupada's Lilamrita, you can see how Prabhupada suffered in New York so much. There's Chaitanya Prabhu gives one story where he was staying in one apartment. There was two beds, and he says, he's speaking to Murari Ji, he writes to her, and he tells her that, you know, at night I'm so hungry. I eat a little bit, I cook in the day, at night I take a little milk and foods, and all night I starve. And he said, sometimes there's two beds, there's one couple in one bed, and I sleep in the other bed, and sometimes they don't sleep. That means that they engage in activity. So the sacrifice that Prabhupada had to go, he didn't need to do all this, he was self-realized. But he went through so much sacrifice. So unless he sacrificed, we wouldn't be here. And unless we sacrifice, other people won't come. And the sacrifice doesn't just mean I'm in Krishna consciousness, it means we shouldn't fall down. Like for example, there's always someone looking up to you. Even if it's just our own children. But if we don't follow principles carefully, if we don't chant properly, if we don't show a good example, that will give away the opportunity for them to become Krishna conscious. But if I sacrifice my desire not to chant well, my desire not to follow properly, but I want to be good just to show the example, I'm sacrificing this for the next person, then the person will join Krishna consciousness. Because even at the level of our kids have not joined Krishna consciousness. We've joined. They've born. At one point they have to join, but a lot of them don't join. They make decision that I don't want to do it. So even just our lives, our own sacrifice in family life as devotees in a community, we have to sacrifice this tendency for material aspirations or material doing so we can show the example, and in this way other people will be inspired. But imagine if I fall down, all these people looking at me, whoosh. So this is sinful, because now I'm bringing people, because anyone, so many people are looking at us, even if it's one person, two people, three people, there's so many people who get, Krishna sends people, the more you preach, more you become stronger, more people, Krishna will send people to you, and they'll look at you, and they'll look at you as an example. But imagine if you fall down, if you don't sacrifice, because every second is a decision, free will, like I'm on the street, and I'm distributing books, and this person is agitating me, and I start insulting that person. What did I do? I misused my free will. Because my free will means I can insult you or I can do kind words. So at that time I have a choice. Even I'm going to insult that person or I'm going to flood him with love and flood him with, you know, the desire for him to become Krishna conscious. So at every second we have a free will. But the misuse of free will means a lack of sacrifice. We're not sacrificing for the higher cause. So this verse is very important because it's a call. It's not just a call for all these people who didn't join Krishna consciousness. It's a call also for us to become more and more serious in our spiritual life, starting with me. Every day trying to do better chanting, better reading, better service, better relationships. And my example will influence others. My sacrifice will influence others and their sacrifice. And this is how you create that chain to go back to the spiritual world. But if people don't sacrifice, how people will become Krishna conscious? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there's a warehouse of fruits of love of God. But how many fruits can I distribute alone? He's calling. But for us to come, we have to become Krishna conscious like this. So not that we're not Krishna conscious, but I'm saying we always have to think, this is my free will. What am I doing? Am I really sacrificing for spiritual life? And in any case, I will have to die. We have to die. I was speaking with Gita Nagipu because he was saying, if I was Dadichi, I would give my bones immediately. And I said, well, that's quite painful, because think, if you have to die, we're thinking, oh, death is okay. But death is painful. I mean, we went through it a lot, I don't remember. But it says it's like 100 scorpions who sting you at the same time. So it's like an operation, you know? Okay, they have to cut your arm. You wouldn't do it. Someone has to hold you and do it, you know? So when death comes, you have to do it. So what Dadichi has to do, he says, okay, meditate, give his body. But the body is like the extension of sense enjoyment. Without a body, life is finished. How can you enjoy life? It's a really big sacrifice. So it's a gradual sacrifice, but our sacrifice in Krishna consciousness means to give it up, because we've done it so many times. Like Prabhupada explains, when people, the man attracted to woman, he says it's like, it's the same thing in different vessels. You know, a vessel, different pot. So it's the same thing, it's just different pots. So it's done again and again and again. It's like chewing the chewed. Like taking the cigarette butt. You see, the poor people in America, they take the butt, they're thinking, there's still something to, like Prabhupada gives the example of the crows I gave before, the crows are eating. And then they go away, there's nothing. The new crows are coming. They're thinking something is there. So Prabhupada said the crows are the Westerners and the new crows are the Indians. They're thinking something must be there. It's like chewing. So anyways, I thought this was really an important verse. You know, the Bhagavatam class is there for us to every day revive our desire for Krishna consciousness. That's what Maharaj used to say, that if you don't go to Bhagavatam class one day, maybe you'll hear something that will stop you from leaving Krishna consciousness. So it's so important to come and hear together, because something may inspire us so we can make advancement. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. En français.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for a very nice class. You're There was some very nice points made. There was one point you made, it wasn't the main focus of the class, but it brought up a question in my mind and I thought I should ask. It's in relation to, sometimes we contrast Western culture and Eastern culture and discuss the benefits of trying to imbibe this Eastern culture. But sometimes I'm wondering if, when we speak like this, is it that it's the Western culture which is bad, or is it the fact that Kali has progressed so fast in that culture, so we're trying to warn people from falling into that trap? Because sometimes the point is missed, some devotees think. So I was wondering if you comment on that. Is it the Westerners which are bad and Indians are automatically good, or is it the fact that Kali has progressed fast in Western culture, which is the problem? Because Kali could also progress in Eastern settings. So I was wondering if you could...
So you're asking if Western culture is bad, or is it just progress fast and Indian culture is good?
I'm just wondering if it's just because sometimes when we preach, we say this, that, like, Western. For example, you made the point that in the West, people take care of dogs and kind of poop of dogs. But sometimes devotees say that we also see that in India. So how to, should we clarify, or is it just that West is?
I don't understand fully, but anyways, Western means materialist culture. Western means materialistic culture. So it could be in India, it could be anywhere, some kind of materialist culture. It's just it happened in the West, and the East was Vedic culture. Now Vedic culture, the Eastern culture is becoming materialistic and become Westernized. So the West is everywhere now, in that sense. So nothing is bad ultimately, everything is good, because nothing come Krishna can be bad. It's the misuse of it. Bhakti Siddhanta came with sewn clothes, he came with watches, cars, and the sannyasis told them, the Babaji's, that we have to teach you renunciation. He said, no, I'm coming to teach you renunciation. So I'm not sure I understand fully, but you see, we can't be... Mayapur, for me, is one of the most racist places in the world. We've been here for 30... People joined for 30, 40 years. See, we're seeing Bengalis, Western, white, this, that. I mean, we should see devotees with different types of bodies. We see the Indians, the Bengalis, the white people, the Americans, the Russians. So we should see these differences. Now, when we speak about Western culture, Prabhupada liked the Western culture in the sense he liked the American mood, this passionate mood of doing things. But when you speak about the West, we're speaking about the area where materialism is very strong. It's not because it's that place. Now the West is becoming India also. I mean, when we used to come back from in Bombay from preaching programs, we used to see all these kids that, because it was father programs, we came back 3-4 o'clock. These kids were in discos and bars and drinking. And that was like 20 years ago. So the West is here also, it's heating up. It's a demoniac culture. It's a devil in that sense, what the religions would say. It's a devil culture because it's eating up, it's separate from Krishna. But if you use the Western culture for Krishna, then it becomes spiritual. Nothing's bad. That's what we were taught, nothing's bad. Everything's good if it's used properly. You want to be rich, become rich. But have a temple in the house. Feed Krishna instead of feeding yourself first. I don't know, does it answer a little bit?
It does.
I can't hear properly. I couldn't.
It answers the question, and I think most of the problem was due to the fact that I understood the question might be slightly controversial, so I had some difficulty verbalizing it appropriately. But I think you got the point and you answered it adequately to my understanding. I don't know about other people.
We have to get out of the bodily consciousness of life. We really have to practice to see inside. Because you can see so many differences. Because obviously, Prabhupada said that if you're not careful, you could easily develop the ethnicity differences. Because there's 48 nations, and we're not all pure devotees. And you know, if I tell, Noam is there, he's Israeli. If I tell him about Palestinian, he doesn't get agitated. But if you go in Israel, you speak about Palestine, they'll get agitated. But there's still some devotees that are still attached to the notions that I'm an American. I'm an American body, or I'm a certain nation. We still have these attachments. So we really have to get free from these things. That's the only way to make Mayapur very, flowable. We shouldn't see differences. We have to work together for Prabhupada. Anyways, this is really important point. Prabhupada speaks about, I'm sorry, okay, go.
Thank you for your class. Working up. I just want to mention about the racism.
Can you speak closer? You have to eat the mic.
I just wanted to mention about the racism here, that you said it's racist. I've read a lot about the history of India and what the English actually really did to the Indian.
Yes.
What they really, really did, and it was worse than the Holocaust.
Yes.
And I think that left a big scar on the Indians.
Yes, definitely.
And also, if I was a villager myself, I wouldn't like us either, us Westerners, because, you know, look at what we're doing now. We're becoming so passionate with all the motorbikes. Prabhupada didn't want motorbikes
here.
He didn't want that. You know, we should make the sacrifice and live with the Indians in harmony rather than just becoming a disturbance. And it is disturbing for me. I'm a Westerner and I came here to increase sadhana. And when I see these loud motorbikes, not just motorbikes though, it's the way we act. You know, we all need to tone it down and just become more internal, not so loud and you know, wanting to make an impression. You know, because that's the way we're conditioned and it's very hard to eliminate that. But they can give us more than we can give them. That's what we need to understand every single minute of the day, that they're actually more elevated than us.
Yeah, yeah, but I wasn't saying racist from one side.
No, I'm not criticizing you at all. I'm just trying to collectively give my knowledge of what I see, my perception, because I'm actually in love with this village and the devotional part of it. But on the other hand, when I step outside into the dharm, you know, it feels like I'm not in the dharm. You know, I'm dodging motorbikes, you know, and it's awful.
Yes.
It's not just the motorbike aspect either.
No, I understand.
Anyway, thank you. Thank you for your class.
But you know, I think what we need is courses. You teach Indians the Western mind and you teach the Indian mind. Like, for example, we're renovating in the apartment. He said, we're going to go faster. We'll do time and a half. I was saying, well, that's expensive. Because time and a half in the West means that if I make $10 an hour, I do more time, I'll be paid $15 an hour. But time and a half doesn't mean this. It means that if you pay the worker 350 rupees, he's going to pay half of that time for the extra time. So that's a misunderstanding. They were supposed to start on Monday, but they start on Tuesday, and the contractor is looking at me, well, yeah, they started. What's one day? But for me, I'm trained, it must be. So the problem is a lot of misunderstanding. Yes, who else wanted to? Nothing? Thank you. Yes, Gita Nagari, always bless us, tell us. But I didn't want to do bad comment. I'm just saying that we have to get out of the... Because he asked about the Western culture. So I was saying that ultimately everything can you be used in Krishna. We have to see the soul and utilize everything in the service. Yes, Prabhu.
I was just going to say that whenever I have to speak on this subject matter, Western culture, Eastern culture, Indian culture, you know, European, American culture, we're not trying to push Western culture. We're not trying to push Indian culture as it stands right now.
Yeah, not today. Obviously.
We're trying to push Krishna conscious culture of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what we're trying to establish.
Definitely.
And you know, because there's a lot of things about that are happening in India right now.
Yes.
That are horrible.
It's not Vedic.
Yeah, and that are very un-Vedic and are very. Skewered, you know. So we're not trying to push Indian culture.
No, definitely.
We're trying, as it stands right
now. Yeah, Sanatan Dharma
we're trying to push the culture of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the culture of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what we're trying
definitely,
to push.
100%. Actually, Prabhupada, there was one journalist running after Prabhupada. He was running, Governor Swarupu gives that story. So he's running after Prabhupada. Finally, he catches him. He said, what kind of Buddhist are you? He was thinking, Krishna conscious Buddhist. He said, actually, we're not Hindus. We are a spiritual culture, Vedic. So, Thank you very much, everyone. August to Prabhupada. Hari Bol.